Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, Legion of Audience. This is James, and before we get started today, I wanted to take a second and let you all know about the brand new Who Would Win Patreon. If you'd like to support the show and get behind-the-scenes access like you've never seen before, go to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow right now. Who Would Win patrons will have access to outtake videos, early info on battles, and even get a vote on characters that we'll use in upcoming episodes. So if you'd like to support me and the show, head to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow, and for as little as $5 a month, you can define yourself as more than just a fan. You'll be an official member of the Legion. Hope to see you there.
A mechanical menace is plaguing the city, as robot after robot pour into the Big Apple to control or destroy. Heeding the call to save his hometown, Captain America fights his way to the man responsible for all the damage. It is then that the long-mustachioed Dr. Robotnik takes notice of the star-spangled hero. And after a few well-placed jaunty laughs, ha ha ha, he climbs into one of his various machines for battle. "Give up now," Robotnik sneers. "It's not like you can do this all day." Captain America lets out a smile and whispers to himself,
"You don't know me very well then."
It's Super Soldier versus Mad Scientist. It's Steve versus Eggman. It's Captain America versus Dr. Robotnik. Today on Who Would Win?
And welcome to another episode of Who Would Win, a show that completely ignores anything important happening in the world and instead focuses on a fictional battle between two characters from the worlds of comics, sci-fi, and fantasy. I'm your host, James Gavsey, and as always, I'm joined by the one and only Ray Stikanis. Today's matchup, ladies and gentlemen, takes the maniacal supervillain versus noble superhero genre up to a whole new level. In one corner, you have Dr. Robotnik, the evil genius and main villain in the Sonic the Hedgehog franchise, versus Captain America, Marvel Comics' noble super soldier representing the greatness that is the United States of America. Yeah, I said it, and that's how it is. As usual, I did the patented Who Would Win Google test just to see how many times this matchup has been discussed, and this very specific matchup with these specific versions of characters has never been discussed ever in the history of everything, according to Google. So yet again, the Who Would Win podcast brings you a premier geek culture battle. You're welcome, Legion of Audience. Ray, what are your thoughts on today's matchup?
I don't know exactly what this is. This is a weird one. This is a weird one that we're doing. I'm always psyched to rep a video game character on the show. I try to bring more of it out here. And I know you are psyched to be repping Captain America. Now, you've repped Captain America on the show before, as have I. And you've lost with Captain America on the show, and I've won with Captain America on the show. So walking into it, I've won 3 in a row leading up to this match. I've got to believe a 4th is coming, which means, who knows, maybe Captain Carrot gets a redemption match in season 6 of Who Would Win.
Two things I got to say. First of all, no one wants that. Secondly, as a brand new American, that's right, I'm officially an American, I'm not going to let that happen. I am repping the greatest country in this world, at least I believe it is, the United States of America through Captain America. And I will not let him or the entire country down. Look,
James, you got your citizenship already. You don't need to keep doing that every single time the country is brought up.
I do. And I need to let everyone know how happy I am to be part of the greatest country. I don't know if you can tell. I love being an American. All right. With all of that being said, when you have something so outside of the box, something that shifts the paradigm with such intensity as this battle will do, you need a judge who thinks at a multiversal level. Do we have that judge today? Let's find out. Making another appearance on the Who Would Win show, it's a Turbo Team guy from the I Think You Should Leave show on Netflix. It's the clerk from Sharknado. It's Haystacks Calhoun from The Young Rock. It's a massive human being with an even more massive IQ. It's the one, it's the only, it's Steve Moulton. Steve, welcome back to Who Would Win.
Thank you very much for having me back. Some people might argue with that massive IQ remark, but they can bring it to us if they want to.
You know, I think some people would argue it, but I don't think anyone would argue it to your face just putting that out there.
Look, Gibbs has lost three matches in a row. The sucking up needs to be extraordinary today. And Whoa. The desperation just comes out of his pores.
Like all I'm trying to say, things. Ray Cicanus, all I'm trying to say is that if anyone online ever says anything not good about you, me, or one of the judges, I simply say, great, when can we meet up in person and discuss this face-to-face? So far, I've had zero takers. I don't think anyone's going to be doing any of that to someone like Steve Moulton. Now, listen, Steve, you've done a lot of great things. Tell the Legion of Audience, our faithful fan base, what you've been up to.
Well, that's funny that you ask it that way, because my podcast is called What You've Been Up To, although wow. I haven't recorded an episode in a very long time. But thanks for the plug. What You've Been Up To, you can find it on your favorite podcatcher. Other than that, I have been auditioning like crazy, I'm happy to say. I know that after the strikes and the impending further possible future strike from IATSE, a lot of auditions have slowed down. Somehow I have managed to hit some sort of sweet spot where I am still auditioning a lot, still doing any acting I can get my hands on, scrounging for side gigs, and I do have a new short horror film that is about to be released any day now.
Wow.
It's called Every Other Animal, and I'm hoping you can see it as soon as possible, because I got to see a cut of it, and like it's pretty good and scary.
Any idea where our the Legion of Audience, our fan base, can actually go to? Is it an online platform? Is this, you know, where can we take in the greatness of this film?
At the moment, I have no idea.
That's
fair. I know they're trying to put it into festivals and all that sort of thing, but hopefully there will be an online way to watch it in the very near future.
I hope it shows up on Tubi so I can watch it as a double feature with the Russian Guardians.
There you go.
I hope it also shows up on Tubi and Netflix and everywhere else where you can watch movies. And I hope it takes the place of the Russian version of the Guardians. It's a horrible movie, except for that one character. He was really great. The rest of it, just don't. It's the COVID of movies, is how I put it.
I seem to remember you guys discussing this movie last time I was on.
It's all I talk about.
It still hurts me, by the way. It still hurts. It's horrible. All right, listen, we have a great episode. We got great characters we're repping, at least I do. We have Steve Moulton on the show. This is going to be insane with all that being said. Ray, please do us the honors and announce today's matchup.
Representing Marvel Comics, the super soldier who makes you see stars twice, Captain America. And representing Sega, the villain who kicks both your row face and your robot, Dr. Robotnik.
Well done, Ray. Now, before we go any further, let's go over the
basics. If you say so, James.
Ray, I know how much time you put into these, and you know, you're a professional. I question nothing. All right, now, before we go any further, let's go over the basics of a Who Would Win match. Now, each debater will make 3 points. Keep in mind that the Who Would Win match is a random encounter in a neutral location with no prior knowledge or prep time allowed. And the debater has to stay within the confines of the character. And when it comes to determining the winner, it's the judge who has the final say and will determine which character lost based on death, incapacitation, or battlefield removal with no outsider interference being allowed. Remember, you can always check out all the rules on our website at www.whowouldwinshow.tv. And before we get started, don't forget to visit the official Who Would Win store. Visit www.whowouldwinstore.com to get your hands on some great Who Would Win shirts and merch. And now, let's get to the tail of the tape for both of our combatants. Ray, please give us the details for Dr. Robotnik.
Dr. Ivo Eggman Robotnik is a mad scientist and archenemy of Sonic the Hedgehog. He was created by Naoto Oshima and first appeared in the video game Sonic the Hedgehog all the way back in 1991. Dr. Robotnik is a genius with an IQ over 300. His lifelong dream is to conquer the world using robots of his own design. Sadly, Dr. Robotnik is always defeated by Sonic the Hedgehog as well as his friends. Now, whether it's giant airships, giant space stations, or unlimited power, Robotnik never thinks small, that's for sure. Now, fun fact, Dr. Robotnik has a definitive look to him for sure, but did you know that that look is presidential? It is. Because this is a wild story. Sega, back in the day, was looking for a mascot to lead a video game series to rival Mario and Nintendo, right? So they had open submissions for characters to fill this void. Enter Naoto Oshima, who created a character in long pajamas and a face based on former U.S. President Theodore Roosevelt. While the design got top marks from everyone, everyone loved it, but it was quickly clear that this guy was not going to lead his own game and conquer Mario, right? But when Sonic the Hedgehog needed a villain to oppose him, well, he was perfect for that role, and so Eggman, or Dr. Robotnik as we call him here in the West, was born. And that is Dr. Robotnik.
Interesting. I love it. Now, here are the details for Captain America. Captain America, a.k.a. Steve Rogers, was created by Joe Simon and Jack Kirby and first appeared in Captain America Comics number 1 way back in March of 1941. By the way, this will be the version, not the 1941 version, but the version that has maintained its continuity, whatever you want to call it, through Marvel Comics up into present day Marvel 616 universe. Steve Rogers was born on July 4th, that's right, Independence Day, 1922, to poor Irish immigrant parents Sarah and Joseph Rogers. Steve Rogers grew up a frail youth during the Great Depression in New York City, so his options were kind of limited. Disturbed by the devastation of Europe by the Nazis, Rogers attempts to enlist but is rejected due to his frail body. His resolution attracted the notice of U.S. Army General Chester Phillips, gotta love that name Chester, and Project Rebirth. Rogers is used as a test subject for the Super Soldier Serum, and of course, the serum is a success and transforms Steve Rogers into a nearly perfect human being with peak strength, agility, stamina, and intelligence. Falling into suspended animation after a battle with the Red Skull, Captain America is revived and becomes a member of the Avengers. Since then, he's become an iconic hero who has become respected throughout the Marvel Universe for his willpower, fighting ability, leadership, and iconic presence. And here's an interesting fact about Captain America. Did you know that Captain America wasn't supposed to survive past the 1960s? It's true. I'm going to listen to this one as maybe. I'm a little dubious about this. Okay, here's the deal. Evidently, Marvel Comics had planned to have the Captain America character killed in the 1960s. In this proposed story, Captain America would turn against his own hero status and seek out a different way to save the world. I guess he was going to be disagreeing with what was happening, even going so far as to team with Dr. Doom himself. After his divergence from his normally heroic status, the world would then turn against him, and he was to be killed at that point. Obviously, someone realized this was a bad idea, and that didn't happen, which is good because, wait for it, America. Race to Canis, you know what to say.
Heck yeah.
There you go. And now you have the facts on both opponents. Steve, do you have any questions before we get started?
Nothing comes to mind just yet. I'm very excited about this. There's a pretty fun cinematic tie-in between these two characters, and I'm looking forward to see what happens on the battlefield today.
I love it. All right, Ray, we got a great battle ahead of us. Let's get this party started. Hit us with your point number one.
Yeah, first off, that storyline with Captain America would have been atrocious. I remember what happened when they tried to make him join Hydra, and that was embarrassing. It was so bad. Anyway, I'm using the video game version of Dr. Robotnik. I always forget the new format where I'm supposed to say that in the tail of the tape. Here we go. We're going to talk about the robots of Dr. Robotnik in just a sec. But before we get there, I do want to bring up the fact that he is no physical slouch. He might look like one, but he actually has a certain degree of power behind him before he even uses vehicles and robots. Now, in one scene, he was motoring down the freeway in a motorbike kind of a situation, and using his bare hands, as near as I could tell, was punching traffic out of the way. He was reaching out, punching cars, and they were going flying across the road so that he could make a straight line in front of him and get to where he was going. So when he hits you, it's the equivalent of hitting a car and sending it flying, right? That's a pretty, pretty good strength feat right there. Durability is also massive. Now, I'm not going to sit here and argue that he has Toon Force, at least not this version, but this is the version I really wanted to rep. But he is constantly, and maybe this works against me, but he is constantly inside mechs that Sonic the Hedgehog is able to destroy. They blow up, and he's fine afterwards. You might notice he keeps coming back game after game after game, no matter what type of explosions and damage. He was inside the Death Egg robot, the Hyper Egg Robo. He's been inside lots of different mechs when they have gone full detonation, and he walks away safely every time. So I would make the argument Captain America, I don't think Captain America is Sonic the Hedgehog. I think Sonic is too fast. I think he's working with this flash-like ability, and it takes a speed like that to counter what Dr. Robotnik puts on the table, and I don't think Captain America can match it to be able to destroy those mechs. Also would point out, Knuckles, the echidna, you know, voiced by Idris Elba in the movie, wonderful role, he once punched Metal Sonic into Dr. Robotnik, And then they both went flying through a metal wall. It was crazy. But Dr. Robotnik got up as if nothing had happened at all, whereas most of us would be crying on the ground after being hit by Metal Sonic, being punched by Knuckles. So he can take a bit of damage even outside of his vehicles. And I think that's important. He's also been known, inexplicably, he falls from great heights all the time. It's a constant in video games that Dr. Robotnik either has to jump or is thrown from very, very large heights, lands, and walks away safely every single time. So maybe it's the rotund nature of him. I can't speak to that. But he always walks away safely from these, including, and I've got to mention it, he once fell from space down to Earth through orbit, and he survived. Now, granted, he was inside a robot cockpit that did shield him. It wasn't just his body, as is normally the case here. But you know, if I know that my character went from orbit down to Earth and walked away, I'm going to mention it on the show. So I would argue Captain America is a bit of a brute. He's a bit of a powerhouse when he wants to be. He's got that super soldier serum. I'm sure James will get into it. But Dr. Eggman slash Robotnik can take a shot and keep on going. So I don't think it's an easy case for Captain America. And that's before we even get into robots. And that's my point number one.
All right. Interesting stuff about Dr. Robotnik. Look, I'm going to push back a little bit. So he punches cars with his bare hands. Look, all of us live in L.A. We punch traffic on a daily basis. You know, this is just a thing we've done. So I'm not really impressed by that. Look, when it comes to mechs, I got to tell you, without revealing too much too soon, Captain America has decades of experience of dealing with tech-based opponents, whether it's robots, androids, people piloting giant mechs or regular-sized mechs or people wearing just, you know, power armor, whatever you want to call it. There may be no other person in Marvel with more history of taking on these type of opponents. Maybe Iron Man, but even that's up for debate. And Captain America has an amazing win-loss against those types of opponents. There's no tech that Dr. Robotnik's going to be throwing at Captain America that he hasn't seen, studied, analyzed, and beaten at least three or four times. Listen, you know, this is a really cool character, except for one thing. He doesn't have like a health bar, right? It's not like you got to hit him a million times. You hit him a few times, you redirect a missile, what have you. He's taking some damage, and the amount of damage he has to take isn't that substantial. The reason why that's important is because if there's anyone who can figure out how to hit you a whole lot real quick in substantial ways, it's Captain America. Now, let me get to my point number one. And for my point number one, let's talk about Captain America's powers and abilities, shall we? This is where I always kind of start. Let's do that here, too. Now, of course, many people list Captain America as peak human, meaning if you're like one iota higher in any physically measurable level to him, you're officially considered superhuman. However, here's the deal. That entire narrative has been blown out of the water because the super serum in Captain America's body has been slowly enhancing his body to even higher levels for decades. For example, he used to be able to catch a cold. He can't catch a cold. Diseases don't affect him the same way anymore. His body is kind of enhancing itself. It's way past baseline, you know, peak human, and is now officially superhuman. So for example, in terms of strength, Cap was originally listed at what? Being able to press 800 pounds. However, recently, as a warm-up in some exercise he was doing, Steve Rogers easily lifted 1 ton as a warm-up. Most likely he's able to lift 3 tons or even more, but at the very least, it's a minimum of 3 tons. That's way past that 800-pound kind of level he had before. In terms of super speed, Captain America can officially run at 60 miles per hour. You know who else can do that? Spider-Man. In a foot race, Captain America can match Spider-Man in a sprint, which is insanely super fast. He's also got super agility and reflexes. Now, these are not on the same levels as Spider-Man, but they're definitely superhuman. He's got superhuman durability. He can take punishment in the forms of explosions, falls from great heights, superhuman hits from even the Hulk, at least one shot from the Hulk, and can even tank energy-based attacks, like when he tanked a full shot from an object that was supercharged with kinetic energy thrown at him by Gambit. We then beat as well. He's got a healing factor. And again, it's not as fast as Wolverine's or Deadpool's, but it's definitely superhuman. He can heal from deep stab wounds in minutes, and even bullet wounds won't keep him down for long. Fun fact, he healed himself from multiple bullet wounds to the head. Sure, it took him a while, but he did it. So again, he got shot in the head with bullets. He healed himself from bullet wounds. I don't know how that works. It's just a thing. He's got a super constitution. Now, this is kind of interesting. This just means it takes a superhuman level of punishment to put Captain America on the ground and even more to keep him there. It's just his willpower, his body, all that's tied in and unified for him to keep getting up and continue that good fight. The super serum can, kind of enables Captain America to keep fighting despite taking on superhuman amounts of damage. It's a crazy way to describe a superpower, but he's definitely got it. More good stuff. Captain America has a crazy amount of superhuman endurance. Evidently, his body somehow eliminates fatigue poisons. Don't even know what those are, but, you know, he doesn't need them. So Captain America can fight for hours at his peak, which was the inspiration for his catchphrase of, I can do this all day. I love that catchphrase, by the way. Also, Captain America is so fast and agile, he easily can dodge Thor's hammer when it's thrown at him. He dodges Cyclops' optic blast. And of course, he can dodge bullets, but he can also dodge bullets due to the fact he can process information many times faster than a regular human, which is why he tells Black Widow that he dodges bullets due to the fact that he can see them faster. Yeah, don't know how that works. It's just a cool thing. Speaking of dodging bullets, Captain America can also dodge gunfire when he's surrounded by it. Now, you may be asking yourself, how can he do that if he's surrounded by people shooting him with high-speed weaponry? Well, the reason he can do that is because he has super senses. His sense of sight, taste, smell, hearing, and touch are all at superhuman levels where he can now use them to sense what's coming at him at high speeds for any direction without actually having to see anything. On top of that, let me just kind of sum this all up. There's a reason why both Iron Man and Nick Fury rate Captain America as an 8 on the superhuman level scale, which only goes to 10. And that 8 is also a higher rating than what they gave Spider-Man and even higher than what they gave the Thing from the Fantastic Four. And Dr. Robotnik, as cool as he is, he's about to find out the reason for this rating firsthand. All of that is my point number one.
Oh, man. No. You talk about Captain America having good battles against robots. I'm going to need some better examples, because what I found in the Age of Ultron storyline from comic books is that he got his butt handed to him by Ultron in that fight on Ultron's path to conquer the universe? So please, find me some robot fights, James. I need some examples or you're getting trashed today. Also, I love Captain America, great character, but he does not have an IQ of 300. And I don't care how fast he can see bullets, whatever the heck. Yeah, I agree. I don't know what that means either. But an IQ of 300 means that Robotnik is going to be able to think circles around Captain, who I know has battlefield experience. But Robotnik knows his machines. He has a general idea just looking at him, what Captain America can do. He might not know to the levels he can do it, but he's going to see this guy and there's not going to be any surprises. So a guy with IQ of 300 can handle it. And I'm glad Cap can lift 3 tons. The mechs that Robotnik will eventually be riding in are so much bigger than 3 tons. When Captain America gets squashed by a giant robot, I'd like to have him shake off that fatigue poison.
A squashing is the equivalent of a fatigue poison enacting ability. All I got to say is I love how Ray Cicadas describes things. All right, let's go to the judge. Steve, you've heard one point from both Ray and myself. Where's your head at so far with this battle?
It's a very tough call. I did like all that extra info we got about Captain America there. That was pretty cool. Robotnik, I definitely learned a lot more about him than I ever knew before. And the one thing they have in common is that there's a movie out there called Sonic the Hedgehog, and I believe it has a couple sequels. And there's a guy that plays Dr. Robotnik. His name's Jim Carrey. And there's a movie out there called Kick-Ass 2. And there's a guy that plays a Captain America homage called Colonel Stars and Stripes, and that guy's name is Jim Carrey. So as they share an actor in common, and as they share a whole lot of very surprising details about just how strong they are, and how tough, and how smart, and how fast, and how adept and alert they are, I think I'm going to say that they're all tied up right now. They're tied up. They're tied up on the Jim Carrey point. I believe I'm allowed to declare a tie within the first round. I just can't at the very end, right?
That is correct.
Absolutely.
Because it is absolutely neck and neck. I didn't think it was going to be neck and neck, but I learned a lot about Dr. Robotnik just now. And I also like that it's red versus blue. That's kind of fun. And they both kind of have white stripes. This was a good match.
Is there nothing that gets past you, Steve Moulton? All right, listen, I'm not surprised. We typically are somewhat even in the first round, but who knows? Is Ray sandbagging or am I? Let's find out. Stay tuned for point number two.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All And we're back. Ray, hit us with your point number two.
Point number two for Dr. Robotnik. I want to talk about the vehicle that we aren't even the giant robots yet because let's face facts, but he rides around in a vehicle called the Eggmobile, which is a flying, floating vehicle that he often adds weapons to. Now, if one character can fly, whether it be through enhanced robot purposes or vehicle purposes or not, the Serpentor rule, I do believe, takes effect here. Dr. Robotnik absolutely is often seen riding around in his Eggmobile, not typically just standing on land like anyone else. Now, the Eggmobile can lift large amounts. It's often used to sort of grab things like Chaos Emeralds and whatnot and take them away from the battlefield. And I'm glad that Steve can lift 3 tons. Not Molten. I'm talking about Rogers in this case. Steve Molten can lift much more. But the Eggmobile can lift 16 tons or more just through its robotic purposes. And that's what we're talking about. This is a John Henry versus the machine tunneling through the mountain. And regrettably, we all know what happened there. The machine won and John Henry went down. 16 tons versus 3. There you go. He can also fly fast enough in the Eggmobile that he gets able to get away from both Sonic and Tails. Sonic is a hypersonic character. You could make the argument that Sonic let him go, but I will not make that argument because that works against me. Now, as far as the durability of the Eggmobile goes, it can withstand hits from both Knuckles, the Echidna, big puncher, as well as Sonic the Hedgehog in that one weird Sonic game where he turned into a werehog. Y'all remember that? When Sonic turned into a werewolf pig hog thing? Well, he did. It enhanced his strength like the Hulk would. And he was able to do that. Super Sonic. It's wonderful. Also, the Eggmobile can generate a force field around it. Now, he can take that force field and take that power and energy and turn it towards weapons. And he has a little give and take there. But a guy with a 300 IQ intellect obviously knows when to attack and when to defend against a character like Captain America. And let's talk about some of the weapons that the Eggmobile has. He starts with basic stuff like a wrecking ball or a giant hammer, and they sort of come out of it like you would like the Jetsons car. Think of it like that. But he can also turn that over with drills and saws and sharp instruments. He often uses a flamethrower attached to the bottom of the Eggmobile, as well as a freeze ray that could hold Captain America in place, I've got to believe, for 2 minutes if he gets the hit off. And that's not even mentioning the lasers, the bombs, the explosive devices, the claw. That claw I mentioned earlier that could lift the 16-ton weight. That claw has been able to pick off Sonic when he was running by him. Again, when you're 300 IQ, even hypersonic characters can get caught because you know how to time it correctly. And not often, but sometimes, a mind control device has been used on the Eggmobile to control the other characters in the game and make them do his bidding. Obviously, if Captain America gets hit with a mind control device, he'll be saying Hail Hydra all over again as he marches his way off the battlefield. Sorry, Cap, you can't even beat the Eggmobile, and I haven't even gotten to point number three yet. This is over, and that's my point number two.
You know, there's a lot to push back on, but I got to ask a question. Ray Stakatis, when you're talking about the Eggmobile, is this the main mode of transport that you are assigning Dr. Robotnik for this battle?
No. This is a mode of transport that I think he would start with.
Got it. So I'm going to save the rebuttal for that for a later point that I think I understand you're going to be going with, but we'll see how this plays out. Okay, listen, talking about the Eggmobile, you know, here's the thing. It's a high-tech-based vehicle that can fly and what have you. Again, this is something that Captain America has witnessed firsthand with S.H.I.E.L.D. You know, S.H.I.E.L.D. that Captain America works with, that big organization, you know, has the flying cars, has that advanced tech, has the advanced weaponry, and is a lot more vicious when it comes down to it with their tech and weapons than Dr. Robotnik is. And they have a lot of scientific geniuses working on all their stuff as well, including Tony Stark at some points. So everything that you just mentioned, the flying car, the arms that come out, the 16 tons, that is something Captain America has seen before, is familiar with, and has overtaken a number of times. That's not going to surprise him. It's not going to be that effective. Look, and again, Captain America, you mentioned the speed. This is really important because Sonic's a fast character. Well, Captain America has had a lot of experience with super speed-based characters. I can think of at least 2 times that he beat the character known as Quicksilver, who has a lot of stuff in common with Sonic as well, both being super speedsters and what have you. This is not something, so if that car, that vehicle moves really fast, That's not something that's going to throw Captain America whatsoever. He knows how to deal with that. And finally, mind control on Captain America. This whole thing, when Captain America turned out to become a member of Hydra, that took a reality warping type of mechanism to make that happen that also had something to do with time travel. None of that's coming into play here. Even insanely strong telepaths having a really hard time even getting Captain America to do anything. His willpower is that it's Captain America is what I'm trying to say. All right, let me get to my point number two. And with my point number two, let's talk about the weapons, the fighting ability, and what Captain America is capable of. So let's just start with the obvious weapon here. It's Captain America's shield. It's made out of what is called proto-adamantium. That's even stronger than adamantium, which was considered the strongest material of the Marvel Universe until proto-adamantium was created for the shield. And of course, the shield's also infused with vibranium, because why not? The only way to destroy the shield is to typically have someone who can either alter reality or do something on the molecular level, and even that doesn't work all the time. Magneto. I'm talking Magneto. Marvel's supreme master of magnetism couldn't figure out how to successfully damage the shield in any way. Cap's shield is so aerodynamically sound, by the way, and he knows exactly how to throw it to accomplish any task he needs to during a fight. Look, he's so good at using a shield that it actually may serve better as an offensive weapon than as a defensive one. He's just a master at using it, at throwing it, at bouncing it off, calculating all the trajectories, doing all that math in his head in a split second, because that's how he uses that shield in a magnificent way. He's also one of the best marksmen on the planet. And, you know, that's because we've seen that with the shields. He's making impossible shots all the time. It's very similar to how Cyclops can bank his optic blasts off four or five different things to make it then hit a target. That's what Captain America can do with his shield. Of course, there's the uniform. And this is something he wears that's made out of super strong chain armor. This means it even adds more superhuman durability to what he can do. And to say it's bulletproof, it can tank energy blasts and explosions, is kind of a huge understatement. Look, it was able to tank a lot of what Gambit was throwing at him. And even when Gambit charged the uniform itself, the chainmail itself, even when that blew up, Captain America was still pretty much okay with it. He felt it, but then kept on fighting and then beat Gambit. Of course, he's got a utility belt. Everyone forgets about the freaking utility belt. Now, this contains some cool equipment. It's got military strength cables that he can launch and just tie people up with or use to go from one spot to another. He's got smoke grenades and explosives. This is just something he can do combatively at a mastery level. But his biggest weapon's his mind. Let's just go there as well. He's got supercharged brain power. Imagine your brain on the ultimate energy drink. That's Captain America's brain for you. His brain processes information like a high-speed internet connection. This makes him the ultimate quick thinker. He's also a fast learner. I guess he's like a fast learner extraordinaire. Give Captain America a weapon and bam, in seconds, he's a master. It's like he's got cheat codes for learning. He's going to be able to take stuff off of Robotnik, figure out how to use it real quick, and use that stuff against the good doctor himself, just like he's done against Iron Man a number of times. Beast from the X-Men even says, when Cap picks up any weapon, it's like he's had years of training with it. He's got a photographic memory. Ever wish he could read, you know, remember everything you've ever seen or read? Captain America doesn't have to wish. His brain is like the ultimate camera. It captures and stores every detail forever. Forgot what you had for breakfast? Because Captain America definitely didn't. And he can recall that information all at once very quickly as well. On top of that, he's a tactical genius. We all know that. Let's just talk about that a little bit more. The super soldier serum kind of fuels his brain to be even more powerful than it already was before. This is someone who, you know, can use that super serum to do crazy tactical things. He can predict outcomes like he's got a crystal ball. He sees a situation, flips through his mental library or of every military tactic ever that he's got in his mind, because he's got a lot of them, and bam, he's got a plan that's 10 steps ahead of everyone else. We've seen this all the freaking time. Of course, he's a strategic mastermind. He can recall any strategy, adapt it on the fly, and outmaneuver opponents before they even made their move. Look, in a DC and Marvel crossover, both Superman and Batman agreed that Captain America should be in charge and lead the combined forces of the Avengers and the Justice League team. When Batman thinks you should be in charge of a battle because you make the best decisions at the moment in the battlefield and can come up with the best strategies, you know you're a strategic genius when it comes to all of this. In a nutshell, Captain America's brain is kind of like if Einstein, Sherlock Holmes, and a supercomputer had a baby. He's not just a superhero, he's a super thinker. And all this enables him to be one of the greatest fighters and martial artists that the Earth has ever seen. He's mastered every martial arts and fighting style he's ever encountered. And then, because why not, he went on to create a unique fighting style for himself. And this fighting style takes advantage of his super soldier-based powers, his acrobatic abilities, reflexes. his strategic mind that can process information at superhuman speeds. Look, his fighting style is so good that when he found himself to be depowered at one moment, and of course he got his powers back, but when he was depowered and just a regular human, he still took on and beat a large group of super soldiers as a regular human. Superhuman powers, superhuman fighting ability, and a superhuman level of shield throwing and weapons usage. Good luck with all that, Dr. Robotnik, because I haven't even got to the good parts yet. All that is my point number two.
James, you're saying a lot without saying anything at all. Sure, his shield is nice. His armor is nice. But is that enough to deal with, again, a gigantic robot, like, crushing you? I don't think so. Especially since he can get pinned down by that and he can only lift 3 tons. Well, if a 20-ton mech falls on you, well, I guess we're done here. That's what you basically have said. And his brain. He's a very smart guy. He's not a dumb guy. He's got the super soldier serum that enhances his brain power as well. But he's no 300 IQ genius robot maker like Robotnik is. And I love that you're really pouring into the martial arts side of Captain America. Like, a guy fighting a giant mech is going to win with a spin kick or a hammerlock. It just doesn't seem likely to me. I think you brought the wrong guy for a big fight. And I'm going to absolutely, unfortunately, destroy America. Not just Captain America. The country of America will be in tatters after Dr. Robotnik gets his hands on it.
Interesting stuff. I love where this battle is going. But more importantly, we're at the turning point. Steve, this is where, you know, you've had a couple of points to go over and ponder. Tell us what's going on right now. Tell us who's ahead in this battle and what the other side has to do to pull out the victory.
Well, we were tied at the end of round one, but Ray just made a pretty big mistake when he talked about how Dr. Robotnik was going to have to destroy America. And I won't stand for it. Right now, maybe only by good old President George Washington's God-given willpower, Captain America's pulling ahead with his shield, with his armor, with his know-how, with his determination, and Dr. Robotnik is the one who should be quaking in his some robotic term that starts with a Q sound.
Yes, exactly that. All right, this is now getting interesting. Again, I've mentioned this before in the show. Very often I've been ahead at point number two, and yet Ray somehow majestically and miraculously, if I might add, pulls out the win. Is that going to happen? Stay tuned for point number three. And we're back. Race to Canis. This is it. You're a little bit behind, according to our judge, Steve Moulton.
Shocked by that.
Let's see what you've got. Hit us with your point number three.
Point number three, and I've been teasing it all this time, and that's the fact that Dr. Robotnik doesn't tend to fight people hand-to-hand on the street, and he doesn't tend to really fight people a lot in his Eggmobile, although he does do both of those things from time to time. No, the hype of Dr. Robotnik is found in his mechs. He's going to be piloting what I will only describe as Metal Gear-style vehicles. As seen in the Metal Gear Solid video games, we're talking Metal Gear Ray, what a great name, Metal Gear Rex, that type of a thing. Now, he also has a ton of robot goons as well, and we don't believe in outside interference, but if he's a guy who makes robots who can, you know, alter reality, stop time, do all kinds of like crazy fourth wall breaking things, shouldn't that, of course, be part of the battle? That is his army that he brings, and he made it. I would argue yes. Now, as far as mechs go, I'm going to choose the Death Egg robot, first seen in Sonic the Hedgehog 2, but also brought back for other video games since then. It seemed like the one he more often goes to. And it essentially is a giant robotic version of Eggman. It is a giant multi-ton mech that looks like a robot version of himself. I can get behind a guy who wears a t-shirt with his face on it. Trust me, that's all I do when I'm not on this show. Hashtag Ray is right. And let's talk about what this giant robotic Eggman can do, because it can shoot out drill arms at its target. He can use targeting computers. Sorry, Cap, AI's gonna beat you here. And he can shoot out drill arms and impale at whoever he needs to, of course. He can also stomp on his enemies. I mentioned it before, I'll say it again here. If a giant 20, 30 ton mech steps on Captain America, we're going to have some Star Spangled Paste on the bottom of that robot's foot. It's also very, very durable. I love Captain America's super strength, and I love what he can do with conventional weapons and his shield. But we are talking about a giant mech. It is naturally too durable for Captain America to bring down. It also will fly in the air. It'll jump, hover in the air, and then land wherever it wants to. That's another great way to stomp Captain America into oblivion. Also, if for some reason Captain can get behind it, can find some sort of way to put up enough force, which I don't think he can, but if he finds enough way to knock over the robot, it's not going to turtle up. It can right itself and stand back up very, very easily. Now, not to mention the fact that he's got all the robots, but Dr. Robotnik has a whole bunch of mechs as well. We got the Egg Emperor, the Egg Wizard, the Egg Dragoon, the Egg Walker. You notice a theme here. What stops Dr. Robotnik if the unthinkable happens and the Death Egg robot gets destroyed somehow by Captain America? What stops him from just turning around and jumping into another mech? Repeated over and over. I know Cap could go all day, but how many giant robots can he bring down before he eventually gets stomped? Again, in Ultron versus Captain America in the Age of Ultron, Ultron, who I argue is about the same level as Dr. Robotnik, was able to handily defeat Captain America on his way to taking over the world. He's got too much tech, too many giant mechs, and Captain America doesn't have an answer for it at all. Sorry, James, but that's my point number three.
Oh, no need to apologize, Ray Stichatis. You'll see where I'm going with this. Okay, first of all, armies are not always part of Dr. Robotnik's arsenal. At times, he's got access to them. A lot of times, he doesn't. We're talking about, you know, again, the Who Would Win rules. It's what this character has on them at all times, what they would be walking around with. He doesn't walk around with armies. That would just be very hard to feed and just very cumbersome, what have you. So it's not part of the thing. It's off the table. Look, the Eggman mech, here's the deal. It's slow. It's not very mobile. It's easily dodged. It's kind of clumsy. It's kind of like a Race to Canis of mechs, if you will. Sure, there's some durability. I'm just saying there's some durability. There's some a little fridge with Pepsi Max in the corner of the cockpit. And there's some cool stuff about it, but you're not too worried about it because you hear it coming from a mile away. You see it flailing and what have you, and you just kind of, you know, dodge and move a little bit and you're okay. Look, this mech jumps in the air and hovers. That's awesome. Captain America has dealt with super speed flyers who come, you know, from the air and who he has to hit who are in the air. Something that can jump and hover in the air and then kind of land. That's, again, kind of slow. Captain America is dodging it, dealing with that. He's done that to much faster, much more powerful things. And, you know, when you're saying the mechs, you know, here's the deal. If I'm not mistaken, Dr. Robotnik stays with one mech. He doesn't say, hey, my mech's destroyed or my mech's destroyed. Now I'm going to go to another mech and then another. No. He stays with one mech throughout the whole thing. So whatever mech he's in, hopefully he wins with that, but he's probably not. But he's not jumping from one to another. And finally, no way you can compare Ultron to Dr. Robotnik. Ultron takes over complete galaxies and Dr. Robotnik's cool looking guy who drives an Eggmobile. All right, let me get to my point number three. And all of this is going to be very clear. Point number three, let's talk about Captain America's big wins, Robotnik's weaknesses, and how this fight's going to go down. Look, Captain America's been around for a long time. As a result, he's had a lot of wins and beaten some crazy opponents. In the 40s, the 1940s, Captain America took on and beat the most evil entity in the universe. That's right, he beat Race to Case. I mean Satan. Captain America has actually beaten Satan. That's pretty cool. In recent years, he has wins, actual wins, against the Hulk and Thor. He's beaten Wolverine, Black Panther, Gambit, Iron Fist, Spider-Man, and even Deadpool. In a DC and Marvel crossover event, he made Batman stand down from a fight, which many consider as a win for him. Look, you can make Batman stand down, you got some fighting ability. There's one opponent Captain America has beaten that's got a lot in common with Dr. Robotnik, by the way. That's Iron Man. In one of their recent encounters, Captain America beat Iron Man, this is cool, by simply taking out the AI in Iron Man's armor, which goes to show that Captain America's got some technical ability as well. And that's all he did. Iron Man still had all of his tech, all the super strength, all the weaponry from his armor. But by taking away Iron Man's ability with the AI to analyze Captain America using data correlated from past encounters, Captain America was able to beat Iron Man. And that's with Tony Stark still having that experience with Captain America. Look, in this encounter, Captain America is facing off against a technological opponent who has less weaponry and is less powerful than Iron Man and with no previous battle experience against Captain America. This doesn't bode well for Dr. Robotnik. Oh, there's some more, by the way. In terms of robotic and tech-based opponent, Captain America has beaten Arnim Zola, you know, the super genius who put his mind into a super powerful robotic form. Yeah, Cap beat him a number of times. He beat this character called the Living Laser, who's an energy-based weapon kind of character who also uses robotic and android bodies to shoot his laser energy, whatever it is. Captain America's beaten him. This is a big one. Cap beat the Super Adaptoid, kind of like the Amazo from DC Comics. And this is an android designed to kind of duplicate the powers of all the Avengers. And Captain America beat it. This is cool. He exploited the android's inability to perfectly mimic the human spirit and the unpredictable nature of human tactics that Captain America employed. This may be the biggest one of them all, by the way, this other character. He even has a win, as he himself, Captain America, has a win over Ultron. Look, this is something Ray Sagan has talked a lot about as well. You have a character that's been around since the 40s or even the 60s. There's a lot of wins. There's some losses. But look, here's the deal. You got a win over Ultron. Yeah, tech-based characters and Iron Man, they're not going to be a big deal. Now, as impressive as all of this sounds, it gets even better. Robotic has some glaring weaknesses that play to Cap's strength. For example, Dr. Robotic suffers from overconfidence and an inflated ego. So Captain America is going to definitely exploit Robotic's tendency to undermine his opponents. And here's the thing. Captain America is a great, what I call, combat talker. We've seen him do this so many times during the comic books where he takes on an opponent and engages them verbally. And as he's doing that, his mind's like figuring out what's going on. He starts distracting him. He starts getting him over frustrated. Whatever tendency or tactic, psychological tactic that Captain America has to employ to help him get the advantage and get the drop on the opponent, he's going to use. And Dr. Robotnik's got those glaring weaknesses. Again, overconfidence, inflated ego. He's got a huge Race to Canis type of temper, and he gets frustrated really easily. And here's the thing. Imagine Captain America. He's calm. He's tactical. He's got this cool approach. He's frustrating Robotnik. He's making the doctor take hasty decisions just when Dr. Robotnik does the same exact thing when Sonic, you know, kind of employs the same tactics. And Cap's ability to remain really composed under pressure is going to contrast really sharply with Dr. Robotnik's, like, kind of, I don't know how you would call it, impulsive reactions, if you say. And, you know, because whenever his plans begin to fail, Dr. Robotnik loses everything. He loses his mind. And again, one little slip up, his plan starts to go downhill, which Captain America will make happen. And Dr. Robotnik all of a sudden starts losing his mind and his ability to kind of focus and get the job done. And finally, there's the experience factor. Captain America has a ton of experience fighting way more powerful and dangerous and capable tech-based opponents than Dr. Robotnik, regardless if it's a giant mech, if it's a medium-sized mech, if it's a flying car, someone in armor, doesn't matter. Robotnik depends heavily on his tech, and Captain America's adaptability, his experience in dealing with tech advanced, you know, opponents use technologically advanced stuff. Look, this is going to give Captain America the ability to exploit weaknesses and robotics gadgets and robots, just like he's done many, many times before. At the end of the day, Robotnik is a tech-based scientific genius who suffers from emotional outbursts, who has a quick temper, and who falls apart intellectually, combatively, and strategically when he faces off against someone who can ensure things don't go his way. He's a custom-made opponent for Captain America. All of that is my point number three.
Absolutely disagree with everything that you just said. Look, does Dr. Robotnik have a short temper? Sure. I mean, he's got a sassy hedgehog who is constantly beating him. You know, so I would imagine another character shows up looking blue with red shoes, and he's going to have revenge and killing on his mind. Did you talk about Robotnik losing his mind? Look, losing Bucky Barnes made Cap go nuts for like 2 decades. So I don't throw stones when you live in a glass house, Captain America. And also the mech. You argue that the mech, the Death Egg robot, is slow. I only would argue that it appears slow because he's facing hypersonic speedy Sonic the Hedgehog. Everything looks slow when fighting against a speedster. That's how speedsters work. And you know a character that you didn't mention that is tech-based? The Machine Smith. You know why you didn't mention it? Because he used his tech to zap away Captain America and made him lose his powers, and Cap had to run away like a dog in the street. You know what else happened? Crossbones shot him. Crossbones sniped him from a distance, and he didn't dodge it, did he? He went down on the steps and was later shot by, spoiler alert, Sharon Carter multiple times. Didn't dodge that either, and he was killed in that storyline. Sorry. And not only did he lose all that, he lost the Civil War of Marvel, too. Yeah, he got some good hits in on Tony Stark, but did the Registration Act go through in the comics? Yes, it did. He didn't beat Iron Man where it counted, and he's not beating Eggman where it counts today.
I love the passion coming from Race to Canis and the calm, analytical kind of mindset I've got with this battle. But with all that being said, it's time for Steve Moulton to do his magic. Steve, you've heard 3 points from both Ray and myself. It's time for you to make a decision. But before we get to what Steve has to say, let's celebrate the Who Would Win Patron of the Week. Every week, we choose one of our amazing members from the Who Would Win Show's Patreon community and put them in a battle. Ray, which patron do we have today?
Today, as I was looking through the active Patreon contestants looking for somebody we haven't done in a while or ever, I ran across a very interesting entry. Ray's super fan, ladies and gentlemen, Ray's super fan. It is your day in the spotlight.
Ray's super fan. First of all, congratulations in finally getting a super fan. That's
awesome.
It was
going to happen eventually.
Look, the odds were that eventually something like this would happen. Okay, Ray's super fan. Let's have him go against, let's have him go against Crypto Superman Super Dog.
Wow, that's almost embarrassing for Ray's super fan. Well, first off, Ray's super fan would show up to the table. He would show up to the battle and he'd say, I got to fight a dog. And then that dog hits with the force of a Kryptonian. And that's very, very upsetting. And obviously, you don't want to be fighting up against a dog with Superman abilities. That's pretty, pretty rough. And so after taking a few shots and being like, wow, that's the hardest I've ever been hit by a dog. I'm going to say that. Except for that time the one bounty hunter tried to take me in. Obviously, it's the second hardest I've ever been hit by a dog. Anyway, he's going to start playing defense. And the good news is that the dog is a dog. And so he's going to start picking up sticks and he's going to throw them and the dog will battlefield remove itself. The problem is the dog has the abilities of Superman. So it's going to battlefield remove itself, but then bring the stick back with hyper supersonic speed. And this is looking pretty bad for Ray's best fan. And that's when in the moment, he's going to turn on his phone, grab his podcast app of choice and put on the Who Would Win show. And he's just going to play the dulcet tones of my voice. And Crypto, the super dog, will fall asleep. Because my voice is melodic. My voice is entrancing. And in this case, my voice is calming to the savage beast known as Crypto, the super dog. Ray's biggest fan. You win the battle by using me. The only way it would possibly happen.
Never thought I would see the day where someone would use Ray's Decanus to get a win over Crypto the Superdog. Just a weird thing. All right. Remember, you too can become a celebrated patron of the week. All you have to do is go to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow and sign up, and you may be featured in an upcoming episode of Who Would Win. All right, Steve, look, it's time for your decision. Take us through your process. Tell us a story, if you will, and reveal who you think wins this battle between Captain America and Dr. Robotnik.
I am pretty nervous right now, but something got brought up earlier about how Robotnik gets to just go from robot to robot to robot, and Cap's going to have to fight his way through all of them. And I think if that's true, does that mean Cap can push a little locator button and Iron Man can come flying in with the Hulk and help him out? Because it seems only fair if Robotnik's allowed to use all these robots one after the other. Is that something that's on the table? Seems like it shouldn't be. So we're saying Robotnik shows up with one, maybe two robots at his disposal. All right. Well, that being said, we got the Star-Spangled Avenger, Captain America, going up against the Red Coat, Dr. Robotnik. There's a lot of symbolism at work here today, you guys. It's freaking me out, quite frankly. But the way I see it going down is Cap's probably just out for a good late morning jog. He's probably going to run from New York, maybe all the way out to, the coast of Massachusetts. And he's just having a good day. He had a good breakfast. He's feeling good. He remembered to vote a few weeks ago. And all of a sudden, he sees a friendly face, and that friendly face looks scared to death, and he's screaming, the red coats are coming, the red coats are coming. But it's not the red coats. It's Dr. Robotnik's red coat and his mean, stupid, frankly all too dangerous red and silver and gold and stupid robots. Some are shaped like eggs. Some are shaped like stupider eggs. And Captain America's like, what is this? Who's this guy? I know Tony Stark. I faced off against Ultron. I almost stopped Thanos from snapping his fingers with his big, pretty golden glove. I can take on this guy and his two, maybe three mechs. Let's go with two. Frankly, there shouldn't be more than one, but let's go with two. This is Steve Rogers. And stupid Dr. Robotnik comes tromping up out of the Atlantic Ocean. And wouldn't you know it, one of his big stupid robot feet smashes Plymouth Rock. Cap ain't gonna stand for that. No, sir. No, siree, Bob. He's just been jogging at 60 miles an hour all the way from New York City. He sees a red coat on the shores of the Atlantic. And now they've smashed Plymouth Rock. This ain't happening, man. Captain America, you know, he's probably doing the old superhero trick where he's got his uniform on under his jogging suit and he just yanks his mask up over his face. He shreds his sweatshirt off. Maybe he yanks his sweatpants off so fast that they're tatters in the wind. You know, maybe some nice young lady catches him and is like, "Oh, I got a souvenir from the big fight." And he goes into action. And wouldn't you know it, that shield was on his back in his special shield carrying backpack the whole time. Boom, he's got it on his right forearm. Runs straight across the beach, and he runs so fast that the softness of the sand, it barely affects his speed, and he does a good old-fashioned jump. Some might say Olympic pole vault status, I don't know, but he gets way up there, and he smashes his shield into that first mech's chest, and Dr. Robotnik's up in the cockpit, and he's panicking, he's freaking out, he's firing everything he can, but Cap's in too close. He's in way too close, too fast, and all those long-range weapons that Robotnik has, they just don't even work, and Cap's just slicing away, smashing with the shield. He gets up to the cockpit, he throws Robotnik down to the sand, but here comes that second mech. And it's able to scoop Robotnik up into a safety. And darn it, Cap's got to start all over again. But ooh, what if Cap could pilot that first mech for just a moment? He can't, but he manages to maneuver it just enough so that he can hide, sneak around, get into the cockpit of that second mech, eject Robotnik one more time, and now he's got him face down in the sand. The waves are crashing in over his face, and Cap's just drowning him in sand and salt water on the shores of the United States of America. And he pulls him up, and he says, "You got any last requests?" And all Dr. Robotnik can say, foolishly, is, "I came here to destroy America, and I'm not stopping till I'm..." And he gets a face full of sand and salt water again. Captain America hurls him into the sea as far as he possibly can. He calls his friends to come and start dismantling those mechs as soon as possible. And somewhere a few hundred yards offshore, a little friend named Jaws comes swimming by. And maybe he's in the mood for eggs today. But Captain America has won by sheer mayhem, melee, and battlefield removal, if my understanding of your rules are still anywhere on the table right now.
And there you have it. A win, a victory for Captain America. For James Guest, for America itself, Steve Moulton, the Judge Supreme, has figured out the formula for which Captain America would get this victory. Unbelievable. I finally got the win after so many battles. It feels great. Race to Canis. Great job repping Dr. Robotnik. You came up a little short. Tell Legion of Audience, our fan base, how you're feeling right now.
I'll be honest. I think that's one of the most brutal decisions, not as in what happened, but what happened. A face full of sand, that is upsetting.
And salt water.
I have nothing more to add.
This battle was personal because, again, I'm so happy that I get to be officially an American. Took years to happen. Here I am. I get to have, you know, debate Captain America, the epitome, the actual, you know, America personified in comic books, to one of the greatest Americans of all time, Steve Moulton. This matchup could not have been more epic. Just putting that out. I'm just saying what everyone has already been saying and thinking for years, Steve Moulton. All right, listen, great job. Excellent, ability to kind of navigate this story and all the facts. You did an amazing, amazing job as judge. Please come back soon one more time on the Who Would Win show. In the meantime, tell the Legion of Violence, our fan base, where they can find you online.
You can find me on pretty much all the socials at Big Steve Moulton. I barely do anything on X, but I am just sitting on the handle just so nobody else can use it. I'm mostly active on Instagram and Facebook, and Keep an eye out for me on your streamers. I Think You Should Leave on Netflix, Young Rock on Peacock. You can see me in Fraggle Rock in one of the new episodes of Fraggle Rock on Apple TV Plus. There's a few different ways. So keep watching, and I'll keep updating you on the fun stuff. And if you haven't done it already, check out my friends at Be Kind Video in Burbank for your physical media needs. They're a lot of fun, and I'm in the store quite a bit. Maybe I'll sign a copy of Sharknado for you.
What? That's crazy. All right. That is actually really, really incredible. Race to Canis. Again, you were on a hot streak for a while. Finally, you got the loss. But I got to tell you, you made it really, really close as you usually do. Tell the Legion of Audience, our fan base, where they can find you online.
I still can't get over the brutality that was exhibited. I mean, we stopped short of arms getting ripped off. He threw him deep into the sea and smashed his face in the sand and then jaws ate him. What a wild set of events that came into play. I actually have to avoid Be Kind Video because the mind of Steve Moulton is a little too dangerous for my take. You don't star in a Sharknado movie because you are afraid to go there. Obviously, good Steve point. Would go there. And I'm a little terrified right now, to be honest with you. I do not want to. Normally, I would tell a judge how wrong he is, but I currently fear for my life. I fear for my sanity as well. So I will just say no. And then I will move on. You can find me on Threads, the only social media platform, at AlmightyRay316. Let's just call this a celebration of what it is. Dr. Robotnik / Eggman. What an amazing character. What a beautiful red coat that he wears. I'm so sorry it reminded Steve of his British oppressors.
I got to tell
you. Symbolism.
Symbolism. And when you look at Dr. Robotnik, I mean this in the most complimentary way, Race to Canis, I see a lot of similarities. I see a resemblance between you and Dr. Robotnik. Just putting that out there.
It's probably the 300 IQ.
Yeah.
I think it's the brutality in which you got destroyed in this. Okay. You can find me on X, aka Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook by typing in at James Gavsey. Remember to join the official Who Would Win Facebook group. This thing's growing like crazy. I don't know what happened, but I'm thankful for it. In that group, you can make a suggestion for a matchup for the show and be part of that ever-growing community, to put it mildly. You can also find us on Instagram and TikTok at Who Would Win Show. Don't forget to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever else you go for your podcasts. On behalf of myself, Race to Canis, and the rest of the amazing Who Would Win production team, thank you once again for checking out another episode of the Who Would Win Show. We'll see you next time.
Hey, gang, I hope you enjoyed this episode and loved listening to the show as much as we enjoyed making it. Quick reminder that you can support us by going to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow right now. Okay, got to prepare for next week's episode. Hope the rest of your day is full of wins.
Sup, everyone. Brian here, host of the TV and Movie Trivia Podcast. It's a trivia-style podcast focusing on TV and movies. Listen in for questions like, what's the name of Michael Scott's screenplay? What do you say to view the Marauder's map? What are Tony Stark's last words to Thanos in Avengers Endgame? And where does Ron Burgundy say he is when he calls the news station sobbing from a phone booth? I've covered The Office, Harry Potter, Marvel, Will Ferrell movies, Lord of the Rings, and more, with even more on the way. So play along to the TV and Movie Trivia Podcast anywhere you get podcasts, and stay tuned for more trivia.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.